This story is one of a series of 10 stories of missing experience that are comprised from narrative interviews with adults who've been reported as missing and who have returned and who contributed to the ESRC-funded Geographies of Missing People research project.
I call it going on a wander. You know, sometimes I just can't handle it and I need to get away. I tried to talk to folk about it, but they've not been through it, so they don't know. And, you know, I'd just rather be on my own. I've used the car a few times to disappear, but this one time I took the bus. I think the decision came about tea time, and well, that must have been about 5 o'clock. My son hadn't been home all day. He'd went straight to get his hair cut. It was really, really bad of me, but I just took away while he was there. Actually, he was walking up the road and I passed him on the bus. I felt really bad because he'd had his hair cut and dyed, and he was obviously dying to come home and show me it. He came home and he got a note instead. You're very, very selfish when you go missing. I wanted to be away, but there's also this guilt. My son was only 17 or 18 at the time. I know when it's starting. I start to go out a lot. I maybe won't come back for 2 or 3 nights at a time. Then about a week later, I'll go out and I won't come back for a good while. I feel compelled to take time for myself. It's like being on a merry-go-round and it goes round and around and the pace picks up, the pace of life, and I just need to step out of all the responsibilities. This time was the fourth time I'd gone. I'd taken a lot of money out of my bank account that day, but the first night I'd slept in the park by the river. I got the bus into the centre of town and then I got off and walked miles and miles and miles. I walked all over London, walked from Fulham, Battersea, past Richmond, past Kingston, past Hampton, I think I went into parts of Surrey, and came back up through Staines near Heathrow area. I used the river as almost like a navigational tool. Almost did like a full circle on myself, just walking around aimlessly until I got tired. Till at last I found a bench in a quiet spot in the small hours and slept until it was light again. Thought about my family a lot, my son. But the situation was so bad in my own mind, I couldn't see a way of it being reconciled easily. I was walking along and imagining I'd find work, find myself somewhere to live, set myself up again and then go from there. I obviously knew what I was doing was wrong, but I needed to hide away. I'd like to be able to say I didn't know what I was doing, but I did. I did know. I checked into a little hotel that second day and got a wash and some rest. There was a bar there and a pub next door and I drank quite a lot. Stayed there for a few days and I gave a false name and address because I paid cash, you know, just in case the police came round and checked. You know, it's one of the things that you think they do. I remember one time I went missing, I got on a train and didn't pay for it. And I think that was when I went to Stansted Airport. I just jumped on and luckily no ticket inspector came on and checked me. You get pretty clued up on how to do it. You know, where to get off, what to do, because at Stansted they didn't seem to check your ticket at the end at that time. It was easy enough to get onto the Stansted Express train. So I went back to Stansted more than once. Spent a night there because it's warm and, you know, you're not challenged. Someone with a bag just looks like any other traveller. This time, though, I was running out of money after a few days in the hotel, and so I left there, started moving again. I had enough for the buses, and I arrived in central London at 10 in the morning on the Thursday and switched and got a ticket for the coast. Once I was there, I had a look around, bought some paracetamols, bought a drink, and that's when I headed towards the cliffs, and I sat there. Sat on the cliffs, and I was contemplating taking an overdose or just jumping off. I was sitting there wondering, can I really do this? I was wondering whether I could either kill myself or just stay missing. And then at the end of the afternoon, I knew I couldn't. I had it all planned and then suddenly this feeling came over me that I couldn't do it because of my son. I remember saying that. I can't disappear all the way, which meant I couldn't die. I have a photograph of my son on my phone. The plan was, the last thing I was going to do was look at him. That photo of him probably saved my life, to be honest with you. Because when I got to the cliffs and I looked at the picture and I thought, God, I can't do this. I can't leave him. I love him too much. And God, he would never understand. That photo of him meant that I couldn't go ahead with it. So it was a really important thing to have with me. I stayed there for ages because even though I didn't do anything, it still felt like a safe place to be. Eventually, I ended up walking aimlessly through the streets until I ended up back at the bus station late that night. The walk back was, I don't know, like walking death sort of thing, you know. It was a realisation that coming back, I was basically coming out of a fantasy world and back to reality. When I have gone missing before, I've phoned somebody eventually, or people will phone me. I always have my phone with me. I would ignore it, and then, you know, I would eventually just give in. In a way, I just run out of steam. The phone rang again as I got to the station and answered it that time, but I still wouldn't tell them where I was going. I don't know why. I wanted them to know I'm okay, but I couldn't say much. If I do go missing, everybody panics, wondering where I am. If I don't answer the phone, it makes them feel worse and they think I've done something bad, and that's when they call the police. But for a while, I just don't answer. I mean, I don't see the point. I need to get away for a while, sort my head out. The police did get involved because I'm classed as vulnerable from the first time I did it. I think I'm still classed as vulnerable in the police computers. That's why they've got to respond. The one thing I've been told repeatedly to do by every single police officer who has been involved and caught me is, next time, please can you phone us? But they always reassure me I've not done anything wrong. In a way, I'm exercising my freedom and my right to roam. I'm not missing, I'm exercising my freedom.